Knives, machetes, saws, and shears. Multi-tools, shovels, swords, axes, spears, hatchets, and tomahawks. If it cuts, snips, slices, or chops, Midway USA has it. Find great gift ideas in our huge selection of pocket knives and other everyday carry folding knives. Make a statement or create a family legacy with one of our top-of-the-line hunting knives. We've got a great selection of manual and electric sharpeners, too. For just about everything for the outdoors, check out MidwayUSA.com.
Hey everyone, Will Cooper here, host of Hunt Stand's Make Your Mark podcast. Join us as we dive deep into the world of hunting and outdoor pursuits. We've brought together some of the most accomplished individuals in the industry to share their invaluable insights and experiences with you. But here's the kicker. It's not just about hunting tips and tactics. We're exploring how you can carve your own path, elevate your skills, and gain some wisdom from the best in the field. So whether you're a seasoned hunter looking to fine-tune your skills or a newbie eager to learn, our podcast has something for everyone. Stay tuned for more exciting guests and hotter topics. Don't miss out and subscribe to Hunt Stand's Make Your Mark podcast today and start making your mark in the great outdoors.
Sitting up there jacked with Pepsi.
I'm there for the pack out. You just got to pack me in.
Committed to the bow early on. Like, I love getting close and putting up.
You cover a range of stuff on here too, right? Like,
we call this the THP world headquarters.
You know, my grandpa Roy Weatherby.
I came into like that golden little pocket where there was like four or five different bowls. Just,
you're Canadian? We're doing a Canadian podcast.
My name's Douglas Bode.
I'm Robbie Benning.
Roy Gander.
They're getting mad at the kids and they thought, yeah, shit, I was drinking down here again. It was me.
Fucking kids.
Oh wait. That was me. No. I don't get into the hot chocolate too much.
It's funny, a couple weeks ago I came home for lunch. It's just one of those days, just, you know, long day, tired. Came home for lunch. I look over at our shoe rack and I was like, fuck, are my sandals again? I was like, did that kid take them? He always takes them, but he's got size 13 feet. Like, and I got size 11 and he says they fit. And I'm like, they don't fit, dude. I said, they're 2 inches too small. No, they fit perfect. I was like, yeah, but they don't fit me anymore.
Yeah, they stretch the shit out of them.
Anyway, so he's already worn them a couple times. I gave him shit for it. I came home. I looking over there. What the hell? I'm like, that son of a bitch. So I text Evie and I was like, that freaking kid, he took my sandals again. Said he stretched. I know he's stretching them out. They're going to be screwed. I got to get new ones. Son of a bitch. Just got them. And then I pause and I'm like, wait a minute. This is after I've already sent the text, by the way. Did I wear my sandals to work today? I wore them. It wasn't even him.
Oh, dude, yeah. I do that all the time.
Oh, man.
Everybody gets blamed for it. I'm gonna fix this. That's better. My next office is definitely going to be better podcast lighting.
What would you prefer? Like just a dimmer switch or something?
Well, no, that light right above me, it shines right down on my face.
Oh, well, I got you.
So it just glares.
Yeah, we're still.
So what's up, man? Did you look at the LEHs?
I've got to go put in the rest of ours. I've put in for one. I haven't put in for my goat yet.
What did you put in for?
Just the moose around here. Same one Evie got last year. I just started the group thing so I could send it off to everybody.
Oh, yeah.
But I've been so swamped. It's like we haven't sat down to decide who's with who because Greg, my hunting partner, his two kids have their core this year.
Oh, yeah. That's nice.
So we just got to decide. I'd rather have three groups of three or something like that so you get the double moose tags if you do draw.
Yeah.
Instead of just going in for two and then you only get, or two people and then you only get one tag.
Yeah, that's nice.
So we just got to sit down and figure that out. I haven't had a chance. It's been mayhem around here.
So. Yeah, I put in for myself. I put in for Region 8 sheep. Okay. Region 4 goat. What else did I put in for? That's it. And I'm going to put in for the group moose.
Nice.
Same two Yahoos I went in with last year.
Of course.
Yeah.
Maybe you can not break down so much this time and get your moose.
I still got my moose.
I know. Nice to get your moose and not have all that shenanigans happening.
Yeah. So, and I'm going to put Wyatt with my dad.
Oh, nice.
And a buddy who's never gotten a draw. Not just never gotten a moose draw, never gotten a draw.
Period.
I'm like, when did you start putting in for draws? He's like, 2014 or 2012.
Oh, wow. It depends on what you're putting in for, because
he only puts in for moose.
Okay.
But I put Wyatt in for that youth mule deer, region 8 youth mule deer, doe draw.
Oh, okay.
So he's going to try to get one with his bow, he said, if he gets it.
Sweet.
I put him in for elk.
Nice.
Goat and region 8 sheep.
Where you got
region 8 elk? Goat and region 8 sheep.
Super. Where do you have him in for elk?
Region 8.
Region 8, okay.
Yeah, everything's region 8 for him. So nice and close.
Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah, the youth get some pretty cool draws.
Well, that's good. Gives them some opportunity.
Yeah.
Yeah, happy about that.
No doubt. I'm looking at this region 4 goat. There's some draws that are crazy. Like this one's 0.7 to 1. So basically, like, you put in for it, you get it.
Four of which? Like, whereabouts in region 4 here?
There's one, 424, 427.
Yeah, there's
431. There's a lot of 1-to-1s.
Yeah. Well, even mine's not bad here. Mine's like 2.4 or something like that, 2.6. We pretty much get it every other year.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good.
But the goats aren't the same as they used to be either around here. I mean, there's goats. I can tell you where they are, but whether there's something that you actually want to take or not.
So yeah,
that's all.
Yeah, that's all I looked at so far. I was kind of looking into the buffalo.
All way up north, Pink Mountain and stuff.
Yeah, they're all Pink Mountain, I think. Yeah, they look again. All up there, but I don't know.
It'll be interesting to see what's left up there with all the fires happening right now.
Oh, dude.
Like Fort St. John. I don't know if they actually evacuate. I haven't had time today to look and see if they actually evacuated Fort St. John yet.
Yeah.
But I know they were under watch. Like it's crazy.
Here's that black bear. Yeah. 61 to 1. Yeah, 742. So bison only.
Gotcha.
But it's October all the way to the end of January. Different draw dates. So it'd be kind of cool.
Yeah, that'd be different, that's for sure.
Yeah.
That's good, man.
Either sex. Man, this like these late season ones, they're giving up 50.
Well, I was putting in for a cow elk draw up there too.
Oh yeah.
But I don't know if that's gonna happen right now.
You guys got one, didn't you?
Evie got one last year, but we didn't bother going up because we got the moose. Like there's no point in driving all the way up there. For a cow elk.
Yeah.
You know, when we got our moose, so yeah.
Yeah, no doubt.
But it'll be interesting to see, like I say, fire-wise, where our friends are up there. Like it's a lot of that private properties. Those late season hunts are a lot of private, you know, farmland and stuff like that. So
yeah.
It's a little bit different. So it'll be interesting to see what happens this year.
Yeah, man, it's crazy. Like, what are we? May 17th, dude, and it is already, like, you can't go outside smoky right now.
Yeah. Been, like, 25 to 30 degrees every day for the last week and a half.
Yeah, well, here we were hitting, like, 34 degrees.
That's nuts.
And now it's just smoke.
Yeah, we had a huge storm, lightning storm last night. So I don't doubt that we're going to have a bunch of fires around us right now, too.
Oh man, it's so early to be talking about forest fires. Like it's one thing if we're having this conversation like June or like July, August, but like you think like, man, this could realistically, like we've had to deal with this stuff the smoke till the end of September. So like, man, we could have another, you know,
3 years ago,
June, July, August, September. We could have another 4.5 months of this. Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
Not last year. Last year was good.
Yeah.
Year before was pretty bad. There's some couple really bad.
Yeah, there was two in a row. There was one that was like,
yeah,
you could taste it. Like it was hard to go outside.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't actually, there was quite a bit of the summer. I actually couldn't even sit outside after work and enjoy a beer in the front lawn because it was just like eating smoke. It was disgusting.
Oh, dude, it's so hard. And like going bear hunting, like, man, it's like, it's tough.
Yeah.
Like there's zero visibility.
Right, yeah, now. It's kind of hard to be glassing hillsides and stuff when,
yeah, that's,
you can't see a couple hundred yards ahead of you.
No, but I mean, like, I'm still going this weekend. Fucked up knees and all.
Bum knees. That's plural. I'm just gonna call. That's plural. Not just one on rehab. Now we have two.
Yeah. Dude, I was so happy when I went and got it looked at the other day.
Yeah.
I had to go to the hospital to get looked at. I called the doctor and they're like, oh, we can get you in June. I'm like, what? Fuck is that? Like June. So yeah. I went to the hospital and I was like, you gotta look at my knee, it's killing me. And they're like, okay, just partially dislocated and it swelled up. It was full of fluid. That's why it looked like a water balloon in there. So they drained it, told me to ice it and stay off it for a week. I said, well, how about 3 days? I'll give you 3 days. So.
Oh, man. Here at first, I thought you were just coming up with an excuse at first, just wrapping your leg up and sending me a picture and just trying to get out of like the 3D shoot and everything.
Oh, fuck, dude.
It's just coming up with excuses. But then I was like, damn, that sucks.
No. So like if I was going to give you any excuse, and like I'm not one for, you'll never hear me give you an excuse ever, like ever. I could sit here and say, because for the folks listening, I recently, when it was at August 27th, or not August, the April 27th, I had, hey, dude, nice cup, by the way. I'm looking at that. Let's see that. Badass.
Mm-hmm.
It's a Yeti too, eh? Mm-hmm. Oh, it was so good till you turned it around, said Hoyt on it.
Oh, yeah. Let's just do that. Just zoom in on that, baby.
What was I talking about? Oh yeah, my eye surgery. So I've had issues. Like I just cannot wear contacts anymore. And I have to wear glasses, and glasses fucking drive me nuts. So I decided to go get LASIK surgery on my eyes. And everything went good. Left eye is money. My right eye is pretty much shit. So I went again today for my follow-up and they said, well, there's nothing they can do till 3 months, which is what they told me at the beginning. They said they might have to do some touch-up, some tweaking.
Tweaking, buff that shit up. Some wax in it. You come down here, I'll get some turtle wax in there. I'll get the buffing machine. I'll get that eyeball all good.
Yeah. So what I've had to learn to do is I had to teach my eyes again to shoot differently. And for me, it's pretty easy because I shoot with both eyes open anyway. It's just, so what I'm doing now is I'm actually looking at the target with my left eye and focusing on the pin with my right eye.
Yeah.
And it's really hard to do. Like, it's easy to sit there and focus on like either the target and have the pin go blurry and kind of fall in front of it, or have the target go blurry and the pin bright, right? Depending on how far you're shooting. Like, if you're shooting close distances, I don't think it makes any difference. Like, I think if you're just shooting 30 yards or like 20 yards, you know, having the target is not going to be that blurry because it's not that far away. So you can focus on your pin and still see pretty clearly the target and the pin at the same time. But like, I shoot 70 yards just normally. So I've had to retrain my eyes and it's hard. Like, it's funny because like I could shoot a bit and then my eyes would get tired. Like I was telling you, it's like, man, it's a weird feeling. Like, you literally, your eyes are like, fucking, your eyes are sore. It feels like you've been glassing, looking through your binoculars for 8 hours.
Well, at least your groups are starting to,
They're going to be
tightening up, which you can definitely see the progression of it.
Yeah, Because when I was sending to you those, remember that first picture I sent you? So
it kind of reminds me of that meme you always see just before September or whatever.
Yeah.
It's a 20-yard target, and you got like a, you know, 2-foot span of arrows everywhere, and you got one that's in the target properly. And you're like, oh yeah, dialed in for hunting.
Dialed in, good to go. Yeah. So I got a 2-foot by 2-foot target. And like literally the arrows were like on all three corners of the target. I shot three arrows, but now they're down to, I don't know, what was that last picture I sent? They're pretty tight now. I'd say two inches.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a tight group.
So
anybody would be happy with it.
Yeah. So,
that's good.
Yeah. It was definitely a learning curve. It was frustrating.
No,
because like you don't have to, like, the shooting is one thing, right? Like everything through my draw cycle is going to be the same, so I'm not working on any of the fundamentals or like any of the mechanics of my shot process. It's just the focusing of my eyes, and luckily I've always I haven't always shot, but for a long time I've shot with both eyes open, which makes it a lot easier, because it's really hard to initially go from shooting with one eye to two eyes if you don't naturally do it. I know for myself it was, and I know a lot of people I talk to, it's really hard to make that, like, to get it to where you can shoot with both eyes open.
I haven't been able to do it yet. Still practice.
Yeah. It just takes practice. Yeah.
But okay. So here's a question for you with your eyes rehabilitating as well as the rest of your body. You're telling me today that the smoke is rolling into Kelowna. Did you shoot today at all? I'm just wondering how the smoke's affecting your eyes. Like,
I haven't shot yet. No, it hurts my eyes for sure.
Okay.
I had to, I got to put drops in, like a lot of drops, but like for my left eye, I was like, fuck, like why couldn't my right eye be like my left eye? My left eye is money. Like I can see, I can see close. And that, well, the funny thing is they said I might not be able to see up close, but I still can. Like I can read my cell phone, no problem. I can see far. Like my left eye, it's better than it was with glasses on. It's crystal. It's just a shame. It, like, if I had to pick one eye to be better, obviously I'd want my right eye.
Yeah.
But the thing is, like obviously I'm not retarded. Like these are all things that they go through before you do it, right? Obviously it's a risk. Like,
yeah.
And they said, you know, this is quite common. There's a chance that you might have to get redone. I know my uncle got it done and he had to go back and get his eye touched up again. And then after that, it was fine.
Well, if you can see the difference of what your one eye should be like now that your left eye is good, I mean, you got, you know, on a positive note, it's like, well, when it does get fixed, hopefully it is just like your left eye and you're going to be, I mean, yeah, be pumped then.
Yeah. But I mean, like, it's still awesome to not have to wear glasses. Like I wake up in the morning, I don't have to, like, fuck man, I got like 6 pairs of glasses and I can never find any of them. Like I, like, just
so dementia, 2 bad knees,
yeah,
bad elbow, bad elbows, bad eyes,
yeah,
unless you're listening.
My listen's money, dude. I hear everything.
Oh, okay. Well, you got one thing going for you then.
What's that?
You got one thing going for you then. just I was trying to grasp onto something for you here, positive in your old age. So
yeah. Oh fuck. Yeah, we can create, man. We can sit here for an hour and a half and go over all the shit you got going on too.
Everything's fixed up 100% here. I'm ready.
Hey, how do you feel? I got a question for you now. How have you felt since you started working out again? Like, how do you feel now? Because you've been, how long have you been doing it now?
I haven't regularly stopped, so. Well, I haven't stopped since your 30-day challenge. I can't remember when the hell that was. That was in January?
End
February?
Of January.
End of January. Yeah, it wasn't like a New Year's resolution thing. Kevin just came up with this 30 minutes in 30 days. And I never stopped. I still try. And there's days like today, I might, like after this podcast, I may not have time for a workout, but work was a workout today, at least bare minimum. I'll be doing, you know, 20 minutes of stretching or something like that. Like I'm either working on my flexibility, which is going to help out with everything else afterwards anyway. But I'm working out 5 days a week, probably. There's usually a day in there that's just so slammed that it's like, it's a stretching day.
Oh yeah. Yeah, for sure.
It is what it is. I'm not trying to do 7. I just try to find that half an hour
Yeah.
And it's like, once I start, I'm not doing heavy weights. I'm just doing medium weights, and I'm doing them till basically my legs are jello. Last night I did chest, and I couldn't do another push-up by the time I was done. I couldn't lift. I basically crawled out the door. So it's like done. You know, I'm not looking at bulking up. I'm just looking at enhancing, what do you call it, the old man strength, basically, and keeping everything's together. My joints aren't hurting.
Yeah. Were they hurting before? Like I said, something that's improved.
Especially in weather changes and stuff. Yeah, I'd feel it in my joints and stuff like that. And I'm not feeling it as much, you know. I don't hurt. I haven't been able to get out and hike as much. I've had lots of other responsibilities I've had to take, kind of prioritize, but I've still been exercising, but I haven't been out hiking like I normally do. That'll come here shortly. I'm just kind of wrapping up a few projects and events for the Rod and Gun Club and that. So got to focus in on that stuff first. But I'm a guy who's kicked the shit out of his body his whole life. Should have listened to the older people who said you shouldn't do that.
Yeah, but now it's too fucking late. That's the problem. Yeah.
But saying that, I feel like $1 million now, not having to go to the gym and get a membership. It's all at home. Yeah. You know, I've got friends who have lent me some dumbbells until I get my set from you there when you bring them up in July. And I feel amazing. And doing something every day, forcing myself to do it, even when I definitely don't want to, I find I have more energy on the average day now than I did before.
Yeah.
Just getting my mind into it and going ahead with it, I feel.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, that's one thing I love about like training and like even like running and stuff. And like, it doesn't matter. Like, you'd have to do what you like. And like, it's like, obviously, everything that we're doing is going to help and improve our hunting trips in the backcountry and help all that stuff. But like, just like getting out of bed, it helps huge. Yeah. Like, stretching helps huge. Like, I would hate to see what I feel like if I didn't do that. Like, I'd be in such rough shape. But the thing I like about training and hunting is like it's a roller coaster. Like, some days you don't feel like training, but you do it anyway, right? Yeah. Like, most days I don't feel like training, but like right now, especially we're so busy at work, but you just do it anyway, right? You just force yourself to like keep looking ahead, keep, you know, just say, okay, I'll just get through this workout and then tomorrow I might feel better. And it's like, it just like, it relates so much to like just life in general. Like right now, you know what, you could say like, I'm on the bottom end of, like, I'm in a, what does my wife call it? She calls it. She's like, I'm in a rut. She always says, right? I'm always in a rut. So like, you could say I'm like that. Like, fuck man, I just had knee surgery. My knee's not responding the way it should. I fucked up my right knee. My eyes aren't working good, right? You know what I mean? Like, we're swamped at work. I don't have enough guys. Like, everything is kind of like, it sucks right now, right? But that's like, you just keep pushing through and you know it's going to get better. And that's the thing. Like when you're running, like, you get, say you go on a 10 kilometer run and like you get to kilometer five and like, holy fuck, I can't go another step. But you just keep pushing. And then all of a sudden you don't feel so bad. And it's the same with working out, right? Or training. And that's why I like you just, like you said, you just do it on days where you don't like to do it. And then, you know, it just forces you to push through it and keep pushing, not quit. And then, but that life's like that, man. Like, especially like with work and business and like being self-employed, is especially like that. You have such highs and lows.
Yeah.
You can relate a lot of that, you know, a lot of that, like your training through life.
The other thing I find too is my sleep is a lot better.
Yeah.
My body's not all tensed up. It's loosened up, especially with the flexibility and stuff like that. My back used to hurt, you know, halfway through the night. That would keep me up rolling around, just because my back would be sore. That's pretty rare now. Usually it's just solid sleeps. Normally I'm up before my alarm even goes up. Like today I was up at, I think, quarter after six. I'm not even getting up till 7 o'clock normally right now.
Yeah.
It's like, all right, hop out of bed and started
more
working
quality
on
sleeps. Yeah.
And started doing some minutes for our next Rod and Gun Club meeting, you know, at 6:15 in the morning. Just like, well, got my sleep, I'm up, good to go.
Yeah, man. And that's the nice thing about when you're exhausted at the end of the day, like, you just sleep so much better. And there's a difference between getting like laying in bed for 8 hours and sleeping three we're laying in bed for like 6 hours and getting like good 6 hours of sleep.
Yeah.
Cause like I don't lay in bed that long, but I feel like I get a good sleep in the time I do lay in bed. Like I kind of just like block all that shit out of my head. Like I can't do anything about it. Like work work would keep me up for freaking hours. Right. And then finally I just learned like, you know what? I can't do anything about it laying here right away. So I just need to block that shit right out of my mind completely. Cause it would keep me up forever. And then all of a sudden, like, yeah, you might be laying in bed for 8-9 hours, but you're only sleeping 3. But yeah, like, and that's the nice thing too about working out is like, you know, if you had to, you don't have to do it every day, but if you're just in a constant routine, sleep becomes part of your routine too.
Yeah. There's a lot to it.
Plus, it's going to help you lots in packing that big elk out on September 2nd.
Yeah. That's what I'm looking forward to. Elk and a moose. I'm going to get the moose draw this year.
Are you?
Yeah. I'm going to get a bigger one. I'm going to pass up everything until it's bigger.
Yeah. Be like me passing up on that 6-point.
Yeah.
And then never seeing another elk, another bull.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know what would be worse, shooting a... Don't get me wrong, people. I love my moose, but if I shot a smaller moose than Evie, I'd probably hear about it more than if I didn't come home with one. I think so. Oh yeah. She would guaranteed she would want me to Euro it just to put it beside hers on the wall. Put it between. You can just it should sit inside mine, honey. You don't even need another wall mount. Just set it on top. It'll fit in between the antlers on my
head. So, okay, let's run through a couple of plays. You see, so you guys got what? Like, you guys have a sweet-ass moose draw out there. So, September, you got what, like 8 weeks or something, don't you? 6 weeks?
I got longer. I've got from September 1st to November 15th.
Mm.
But saying that, extremely hard to find them in the first 3 weeks of September.
Yeah.
They're just tucked up. And yeah, they're like a lot of people, you'll pitch your moose in your sloughs and all that kind of stuff. These things are timber moose.
Yeah.
These things will be locked up in some thick ass shit. You're just scratching your head as to how they get in there. I mean, they're there, but they really don't start moving till that third week of September. And then the rut begins.
But you guys had this draw already, right?
We had this one like 5 years ago. And yeah, Evie wasn't hunting quite then. And I didn't know at the time. I was naive and I didn't actually know that we could archery hunt. It was when I was just a couple years into archery hunting, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I didn't actually know that we could hunt from September on. So I changed all my haul. I had this third week of September already booked off for elk. And I switched it all to October 15th, which is the first day of rifle, because I thought that was the first day of the LEH. Right. I learned afterwards, no, I could have been hunting the whole time in both.
Do you feel that you were cape, like you just got into archery? Do you feel you would have been?
I think so. I think I would have just had to have gone the same, no different than elk. Would be like, all right, I might not be able to stretch it out to, you know, some farther distance, 60 yards per se, I might not have been comfortable with, but 40 yards.
Yeah, no problem.
I've always been comfortable with. So I'm pretty sure it would have been like, that would have been my goal. Okay. You know, like locate, now we got to get into this window and that's all there is to it. Like there's no second guessing. There's no anything else. That's my goal. 40 yards or less.
Yeah.
I don't look at 60 yards as a failure. I'd be like, all right, we got to change something up next time. You got to learn from it. Right.
Yeah.
But come mid October, they are pretty much done their rut and everything starts to freeze out here. And we don't get a lot of snow quite that time of year. The snow usually comes like end of October and stuff. So the ground is just hard. So it's really hard to find fresh or, you know, to know their fresh tracks. The afternoons are usually beautiful. So unless you're really paying attention to your area, or you're driving over old tracks that are softening up in the afternoon and you come back the next day and maybe there's tracks, it's the only way you're going to know if they're fresh. Cause it just, you know, it's freezing to -10, -12 at night. So it's taking till noon, 1 o'clock for everything to even get warmed up and thawed out again.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's a tough hunt when you're past that point, but yeah, they're really moving a lot, you know, third week, September to, I don't know, October 7th, even October 10th, basically. That's the rut here.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So yeah, I feel like we had the November drone. I feel that at the beginning, it seemed kind of shitty that we had that massive dump of snow, but I think what it was doing is because it just, at the higher elevations, it kept snowing and it actually pushed the moose down lower.
Gotcha.
So it just took a while for them to get down to where I was able to get into. And, you know, obviously it worked out good, but yeah, I kind of feel like there was a little bit of a delay because obviously I couldn't access, you know, the snow was just too deep for me to hike into where they were. It just took a little bit for them to slowly ease their way down. It took a few weeks.
Yeah. I've heard similar stuff out here too, where, you know, just before the snow goes, but after the rut, you look at the slides at the tops of the mountains and those suckers are like as high up as you can get.
Yeah.
They're just done. All they're just on recuperation mode.
Yeah.
And a lot of guys are just like, there's no way I'm going to get up there, like as far up as it is, and pack it out without wrecking meat. Like that's how high up they're just, any access to, you know, obviously if there's a road up there, it'd be a little different. You could cut your time in half, but yeah, such a grind in some of those spots. They basically have to leave them and just keep an eye on the area until they come down a little lower.
Yeah.
Cause yeah, that what a waste, all that work. And then have meat spoil on you.
Not to be able to recover. But I mean, they're only going to be, you know, once they start getting chest high, they're going to start moving down slowly. And I think that's what was happening where I was hunting in the, you know, November. We got that early snowfall, but it didn't snow a lot. It just snowed enough to stop my access from getting into the higher elevations.
Yeah.
But for them, you know, it could have been over their knees, right? They still, it's not a huge deal. And then as it kept snowing, they just kept getting pushed down. And eventually, you know, in the higher elevations, it's snowing down below. It's not snowing as much. So eventually they just kept pushing them down to where I was, because I was hunting pretty much the same elevation, which was pretty much my max of where I could get in and out.
Well, that makes sense. Yeah. I learned a lot this year. Like, you know, looking back at the first hunt that we had, I learned some mistakes certain, just, you know, different time of year, different type of hunt. And then I learned a lot doing the opposite this year about actually hunting the rut and, you know, some do's and don'ts.
Uh-huh.
Obviously we were successful. But the next one, if we're lucky enough to ever get another one, I'd love it, because now it's like trying to put the pieces of the puzzle from both seasons. And
yeah. And I feel that's the thing, like up north, the way, like you could just put in for like, you could, obviously you can hunt over the counter moose here too, but it's a spike fork, which sucks. And I won't hunt them. I just don't bother. But like up north, the way we hunted them was completely different, right? And it was earlier and there was, you know, it was a completely different show. And down here, it's hard because like I've only got, out of the 10 years putting it for the dry, I only got it once.
Yeah.
So if that's the ratio, and like if you don't have the draw, you're not going to spend a lot of time learning how to hunt an animal. If you don't have the draw, you're going to be focusing on other animals.
Yeah.
But like I learned a lot this year too, hunting moose, and like it's, you know, I went out lots of days. I just had to be patient and wait for them to come down to me. But I remember I was glassing up high, and I was seeing some moose up high, and I see a lot of tracks. Like you could see the tracks in the snow. So you knew they were up there, and then slowly you could see it coming down lower and lower as the snow got deeper at the higher elevations.
How much longer did you have in your draw from when you got yours? You were pushing it, weren't you?
2 days.
That was it, hey?
Yeah, it was 2 days. It was right down to the bitter end. Cause I remember we were talking that day I went out.
Yeah.
I don't remember what day it was. I think it was a weekend. anyway, doesn't
matter. That was good. Yep.
Let's yeah. So hopefully we'll see. Maybe the, but I would really like to get that because there's an October and a November draw. It'd be nice to get that October draw.
Yeah, a little more access.
Well, and you can hunt the early, like you're going to get October 1st. You're going to get the rut, right?
Yeah.
So
that's good. That's good.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll see. But I noticed, have you looked through the, LEH regs at all?
Not much. I just looked up my code, just like I said, just to get my group going.
Yeah, I know it's hard because you always just look up like what you're interested in. So yeah, I was kind of like going through the 7B stuff.
Sometime this weekend, I'm in camping this weekend, so I've got the synopsis downloaded, and I'll flip through it while I'm out there and just kind of have some reading material then and see what's around. And
It's not like they're giving out, you know, 7B, it still has a lot of bull opportunities through the LEH.
Yeah, but I think they still have to go through, it's not like LEH down here where it's any bull. They still have to do their antler restrictions, just like general used to be 10 point tri-palm or spike fork.
Yeah.
They still have to count.
Yeah, there is. There's a lot of asterisks on them here, and the asterisk is open for bull moose having no more than 2 points on one antler. Yeah, spike fork bull. Having antlers with at least 3 points tines on the brow tine. Yeah. Yeah, you're right.
So it's just a shame that, I mean, at least there's, you know, I hate to say it, but, you know, at least there's some opportunity up there. But man, did the government ever screw things up there and for no reason. Like, it's just, again, science. Like,
yeah. Well, there is, it's actually, it's not too bad. I mean, if you're looking around, I mean, for the, where it has to have, you know, spike fork, it is a small percentage of the draw of the units to be drawn for the LAH.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause
I just noticed it affects everybody else too. Like, I ran into a lot of groups last year who were elk hunting while we were moose hunting, who had never been down in our area before. They just heard about it. And the only reason they were down there is because they couldn't go up north anymore. Or for their moose, like that was their family trip, was for moose.
Because it was over the counter.
Yeah. And they could just go up there and fill their freezers if they were successful. And so now it's like we're getting flooded with other people who wouldn't normally be down here in an already hard hit area.
Right.
You know, everybody, all the power to everybody, you know, come spend your money in the area.
Yeah. And I feel that the southern part of the province, I think that was kind of felt all over. They seen a lot of newer people in areas that generally were going up north.
Yeah. And hopefully they saw what we've been talking about, not just trying to keep you away, but it's not the same anymore. It's sad. It's hard hunting down here now. Not just the terrain, but the animals just are not what they used to be.
Mm-hmm.
So is what it is.
Unfortunately, everyone's looking for, to fill their freezer and there's, I mean, what we've talked about before, all the predators.
Like to get out for my bear. I think I'm going to have to, we'll have to see what's going on. I might end up having to try to take my bear with a rifle here, or at least one tag next week or something. I told you I was taking the bow out tonight to the range, throw some broadheads on and just see how things are. And man, second shot at 30 yards. I did a small adjustment, like teeny, teeny microscopic adjustment, bringing my broadhead and my field point together.
Yeah.
Oh man, flew beautifully. Boom. Inch and a half, 2 inches tops away. And I was like, all right, close enough. I can push it out to 40 now. And then I'll make another small adjustment if needed. Dude, right down the pipe with my field point, right in the bullseye. Broadhead looks good at first and does this funky, weird flight pattern to the right. And I sat there and I was like, what the fuck just happened? Happened to me once a year or two ago as well.
Yeah.
And I was like, but I was done with this. So I was like, all right, went and got it. Came back, shot again. This time, still over like 8 inches, but still the same flight. Looks good off the get-go. Felt nice break. And it's like going down the middle, and all of a sudden it does this freaking hook to the right, eight inches out. And I'm like, what the fuck? So I thought, well, maybe something wrong with the head. You know, maybe, because these are my brand new arrows that are super straight. Like, these things are flying nice.
Uh-huh.
So I grab a second broadhead just to eliminate that possibility. Haven't changed anything else. 40 yards. Dude, that fucker sliced the strap that was holding the outside of the target there. Like, it was 9 inches out, 10 inches out to the right. And in the exact same flight, like, looking good. And literally, I'm watching it and it just went.
Hooked. Maybe when it's slowing down.
I was like, what the hell is going on?
Yeah, maybe when it, or so.
And then, so I thought, okay, maybe some hand torque, something like that. So put away the broadheads just for a second. I've got a dozen arrows out there. So I just start shooting at the static target right beside it, the 40 yard. Man, I am piling those things on, fletchings touching, all perfectly with my field tips, and no hand torque showing on those arrows. They're all impacting the target. Like, when you stand in front of them and look back, they're all perfectly straight with each other.
Yeah,
and all aiming back to exactly where I was standing. So they're not doing any weird wibbling or wobbling.
Broadheads can be frustrating. So these are the same broadheads you were shooting last year?
Yep. And I was able to throw them out at 60 yards last year quite confidently.
Yeah.
And they were flying good.
Right. Now, is your vein set up the same?
Still four vein. Yeah, four vein is what I went to after because I had a couple experimental ones last year.
Yeah.
I was shooting threes and I had a couple fours and I thought, well, we'll just see how they fly. Straight down the middle. Most beautiful arrow flight I've seen.
Yeah, good steering.
So that hasn't changed.
Left or right?
Pardon me?
Are they offset or helical, left, right?
Well, they're only 2-inch veins. So as much as, you know, even though my jig says, you know, it's a 3-degree helical.
Yeah, they're not.
I think they're not really. It's more of an offset than anything. They're not.
Is that to the right or to the left?
To the right.
Right. Yeah.
I don't know. I'm going to call my.
So these are on. These are on those gold tip arrows you have?
Yeah.
How do they shoot on your old arrows?
I didn't bring any of those with me.
Try those arrows. See.
Yeah.
And all your. Everything's lined up the same on every arrow.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they're just consistently shooting. Well, like my broadheads that I'm shooting, my fixed, they shoot 6 inches high to the right.
Yeah.
Like 6 and 6 high, right. But like, I don't really care. I'll shoot one broadhead. And as long as it goes, my sight is set up to that broadhead. So that's as long as that is where I want it every time. My other arrows, and then I just shoot a handful of just field tips. Those are always low to the left.
Yeah.
As long as that grouping is consistent every time, I really don't care.
And I wouldn't either. It was the way I watched this thing fly. This thing had just been a bullet right to the right, all right, whatever. I just adjust my sight to the right.
Hooking.
But it's actually, I don't like the arrow flight itself, like at all.
And you're shooting your bow 70 pounds.
Yeah. 28.5 inch draw.
And what's up front on that thing? So that's 100 grain?
125 head.
Yeah.
And then I do have a 10 grain insert on these gold tips.
12 grain, yeah. Those are 12 grain ones.
That's the insert, but I've also got a 10 grain insert.
So you got 22.
So I did that. Because it matches up pretty close to my other arrows in total weight. So if I go from one arrow to the other, they're hitting pretty much exactly the same. Because I wanted to, it was a little bit of an experiment. That was the whole point of going to the gold tip backed weight system. I can interchange those weights without, you know, jumping in with 2 feet and being like, oh, this is what my arrows are. Like, I can take the weights in and out, play with them, see what happens. So these are really close with my other ones, and I don't know.
It's weird they're hooking right at the end.
I do remember flying. That, yeah. And it's like I say, it's not like when I release, it's not like, oh shit, that didn't feel good. It's like, no, that felt good.
Yeah, well, if you're hitting tacks with the field tip. So what yardage, like, what are you shooting?
That's at 40 yards. So 30 yards is like the 30 yards was money. Like, it was beautiful.
Right.
It was like, I gave a little fist pump. I know I did. I hate to admit it, but I was like, yeah, you know, like that's what we all want, right? Like, that field tips in first, that other one, I watched it, is like, bang. I was like, I know it's not like dead on, like wrecking arrows, but I was like, that's money. That's what I want. I knew before I even got up to it. I was like, I'm moving that target back another 10 yards and we'll just see where it flies. So it's within that 30 to 40 yards that it's doing that freaking weird, the weird hook.
Did you try shooting at further distances to see what it does?
Damn near missed. I missed the target pretty much. I cut the outside strap at 40 yards.
Yeah, maybe.
I don't know.
This is a Greg Poole question, I feel.
Yeah. So my hunting partner,
the only thing I can think is that the arrow, when it slows down, that's why I'm curious to see what it does at further distances.
Well, fuck, I'd probably be out in the freaking football field away. I'd hate to see how much farther right it would go.
Well, unless that's just the arrow steering it that much.
I'm not sure.
Try shooting three vanes.
Yeah, I can do that. I don't have time to get back out there this week. I got too much on the go tomorrow night, and then I'm going out camping. My hunting partner is picking up he was getting his bow and his kid's bow set up down at the bow shop where I get my stuff worked on. And if he's
Where's
around,
that?
That's down in Jaffrey, Kootenay Archery.
Right.
So if he's around and if he's got 10 minutes, I might just send my bow down with him and be like, can you just throw this in your bow vise, check it with the lasers and make sure I don't have cam lean. You just make sure everything's square with my cams. Make sure I don't need a shim kit.
Man,
it's,
I don't know.
It's just, it is shooting so nice with field tips. And I do know, I mean, I know that fixed blades will expose the most minor things, but it's like, what minor things is it right now?
That's my thing. What are those? Those are Black Widow?
Those are Black Widow Innovations. It's the same broadhead that Evie shot her moose with. I put that same broad, I took it off one of my arrows and I put it on her bolt.
Oh yeah. And they're made, they're not crossbows.
Well, they're well made. Like,
yeah.
Even that's actually, I believe, what Kyle Sinclair shoots as well. I think he actually shoots the exact same broadhead too. If not, it might be the neurotoxin. I don't know. The three.
Maybe maybe his are doing the same thing.
I don't know. I doubt it. He's a killer.
Man,
but it's just, you know, maybe if something was off after I shot my field tips, like immediately after on the, you know, just on the static target, and no, I shit you not, like a 2-inch group, like just one on top of the other, you know, five arrows. And
It seems just like they're taken off at the end.
And I'm not the kind of person that I'm not panicking, you know, like I know it happens when I first started archery, put the broadhead on to do your first shot and be like all nervous and all this kind of stuff. But I'm past that now where it's like the broadhead's just, the arrow's going to go where I'm going to put it. That's my mentality. Right.
Yeah.
Cause I remember I used to be like, oh, I hope this goes in the same spot as my field tip.
Yeah. You got to be confident that it's going to go where you want it to go every time. I mean, unfortunately with sometimes those things just, they want to do their own thing.
Yeah. So I got to figure that out. I'm not too worried right now. I got lots of time. It's only bear season. If I got to go get a predator with my rifle, I'll go get a predator with my rifle. I'm not going to not go out, but I want to make sure I do the right stuff with that. I don't want to start tinkering with stuff I don't have to tinker with.
I don't think it's your bow. I think it's something to do with your arrow setup.
It could be. And, you know, I've got some arrow. I will go to my old arrows and I'll try those. And if those shoot well, then maybe I will go down to three vanes on these.
Yeah.
On the gold tips and just see how they.
I find that too. Like a lot of the times I always build the arrow to match my bow setup.
Yeah.
So, and it's always different. Like it always doesn't matter what, like with these, we were talking about, I don't know if we were talking about the show or we're just talking about it, but I started off, so I had four of the AE vanes all left offset, shooting perfectly with that Omen, right? With field tips. Now, as soon as I put those wasp sharpshooters on, they do weird things. So I went back to what I was shooting last year, which was offset, right? And they just, for some reason, it's crazy. They just steer so much better with a right offset vane.
Weird.
Yeah, weird. And like that bow is throwing out big speed. So I need the four vanes on for extra steering. But I mean, it's shooting pretty good. I mean, I'd say 4-inch grouping at 70 yards.
I'm curious how fast this bow was. We were talking about this a little while ago.
Yeah.
Talking sight tapes that I've actually got. Oh, I guess whatever you want to call it, a faster sight tape.
Yeah.
Which mind boggles me because I know how fast your bow is and I just assumed I was going to be below you. I'm just going whatever the bow goes to, you know, like is what it is. I'm punching X's at 60 yards. So I know I'm on.
Yeah. I don't know exactly how all the sight tapes work. And I think maybe it has something to do with eye angle, like peep sight angle.
Maybe.
Like, I think there's a lot more into it than just actual arrow speed.
Yeah.
Cause I think like we could probably like shoot the same bow, same arrow. And I think we'd still have different sight tapes.
It'd be an interesting one.
Yeah.
Because I don't think it's possible for my bow to be shooting faster than yours. You got a freaking speed bow. Like,
yeah, that thing's throwing
all there is to it.
Massive speed though. But I think that has a lot to play into that. That'd be a good conversation for somebody. We'd have to ask. Greg would know
that. I wonder if Greg would know that.
Yeah, that guy knows everything. We've got to get him back on the show.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, I don't know. That's a tricky one. Like I said, that's I would, if it was me, I would try the three vanes, sort of three vanes on, go back, and maybe it's just something for right now. You just shoot. If your arrow weight's all the same, you should be shooting the same sight tape, right? If everything's all the same, your arrow weight's the same, sight tape shouldn't.
Well, that's the other thing too, is that my broadhead was hitting the right height. It wasn't a height thing. It was a right to left hook, there was no up and down at all. Like it was.
So it wasn't your elevation, just your windage.
Yeah. And it was like literally the flight path. Like if that was a field point, I'd be checking the vanes. I'd be checking, like, it was a weird flight path.
Maybe. And it was 8 inches to the right.
Yeah. That was the one that hit the target. The one that missed the target and cut the strap that wraps around it for compression.
Yeah.
That was probably 10.
Right. So did you try like just aiming to the other side of the target and shooting?
No, I didn't. I went back to field points to make sure that I was still shooting right. And I wasn't like, you know what I mean? In my head, it'd be like, if I'm just as like going back to field points. And that's when I put that group at 2 inches, five arrows and 2 inches at 40 yards. And I'm like, well, and they were all perfectly in line. Cause I thought, well, maybe I'm torquing it. You know, some hand torque. It's been a long day at work. It's hot. It's 30 degrees.
Yeah.
Maybe it's literally me. Maybe it's in my hand. Man, those other ones are just like money.
But you know, 2 inches isn't awful for 40 yards. So if you shot the first one
30 yards.
Okay. Well, when did it, so you were to the right 8 inches, then your next shot at was.
Well, okay. So I started at 30.
And it was bang on.
It was inch and a half.
To the right.
To the right. Okay. Right height, inch and a half to the right. And I was like, it's close enough that I should be able to step it back 10 yards and then see what happens. And then make another little adjustment if need be. Because, you know, it's micro adjustments. And my first arrow freaking hit way 8 inches out to the right. And I was like, what the hell? So I was like, well, I'm going to throw another one out. So
and you only step back 10, back. You're only shooting 10 yards further.
10 that yards like difference. And I couldn't see an issue with any flight in that arrow from what I was watching at 30 yards. It looked beautiful. And that's literally why I gave a fist pump. Like I was like, that's right.
Woohoo!
Yogi, I am coming after you. You are mine. 40 yards, it's like put away the freaking bow and arrow, kid, and start drinking because that's about all you got going for you right now. That 10 yards is somewhere in there is what is where everything.
So you just shot two and that was it.
Yeah.
You didn't. And try then going
I did my group 30. And I'd already shot a bunch too. And I was helping because I was you know, helping out some other people who showed up for the 3D session tonight.
Yeah.
Multitasking, but
what I would do is I would take my three veined arrows that you have that are the same weights, everything's the same. Shoot, take the same broadhead on, screw it off your other arrow, screw it on one of those, shoot that, see where it lands. Shoot that same arrow again a couple times, just see where it's consistently hitting, like mark with tape or whatever you do on that target. And then put it back on that one arrow, just shoot one arrow at a time. Shoot it and just shoot it a few times, like shoot it six times. And then just see where it's hitting. Make sure that it didn't get your vein one. Yeah, shoot the three vein one.
Yeah.
Shoot that one arrow with one, just to keep one broadhead, right? And unscrew it out of your gold tip. Screw it into your old arrow. Shoot that like six times. Mark where it's hitting consistently on the target.
Yeah.
Then take the broadhead out, screw it back in your gold tip. Shoot that one now. Mark it consistently at 40 yards where it's hitting. Now, if you have to aim to the left, just aim to the left a bit so it stays on target. But if it's constantly, if you shoot same arrows with the same, if you shoot six arrows and all the same arrow, all the same broadhead, so there's no chance of anything being different in that arrow and it's consistently grouping, it's just to the right, then you know it's not really a big deal. That's where that broadhead shoots six or shoots 8 inches or 10 inches to the right.
Yeah.
That's what I would do.
And for me, I'm expecting to have to move my sights. Every year that I've shot, I have never been able to get my broadhead and field tip to join together at farther distances. And I'm okay with that. I don't care. It's like you say, I do agree. I only care that broadhead's hitting the same spot and I'll just move my sights to it. I'll make a mark on my sight so it's easier for me to get back to my field points. The only thing that I didn't like the look of was the flight path. It wasn't like I just shot a bullet hole to 8 inches to the right. It was a freaking like, what just happened with that arrow? Like you would have looked at it and you would have been like, what did you just do?
To me,
it literally did one of these.
That seems like a steering problem. Like you haven't touched your rest at all, right?
Well, just at the 30 yards, I did like a micro, like, I don't even know if I did a 30 second of an adjustment just for those arrows, just to come in a tiny bit, like my broadhead and my, that's how I got it there. Because my first shot, I was probably 3 inches out
to the right
at 30 yards, right height, 30 yards to the right.
Okay. Well, now we're talking the same language here. This is the reason I hate moving a rest, is because you move it a little bit and then now you never know. Do you know what I mean?
What do you mean?
Like you move your, so you're shooting good, right? With your field tips.
Yeah.
At 30, you were shooting good, or you didn't touch your rest. You shot one arrow and it was 30, good.
30, I shot two arrows at the beginning. Yeah. The very first, I shot field tip.
Yeah.
Then I shot a broadhead. I was 3 inches out. Okay. I moved it not even a line, just so that the broadhead and arrow come together just a little bit more. And I didn't touch it after that. So my next shot was inch and a half out. Yeah.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that's the last adjustment that I made. And it was beautiful. Went out to 40, shot, and it had this weird hook to it. But then I went and I shot the static bag and I piled those five right into a 2-inch circle.
Now these arrows, now are you shooting the same arrows? Like, are you taking out the broadhead off the arrow and screwing in a field tip and shooting it?
Yes.
The exact same arrow? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
And when I had the first one that went 8 inches wide, I was like, whoa, like I thought maybe broadhead, maybe something with my arrow, you know, like maybe a fletching or something that I can't quite see. So I took my best arrow out of my little 2-inch group and I put a new broadhead on that one. And it did the exact same flight pattern at 40 yards. It did the exact same hook.
Yeah. If I was you, I would put my rest back to where it was originally. And then I would just try shooting a couple of my old ones.
Yeah.
And then I would shoot, but I would only shoot one, like, because if you just shoot one arrow and one broadhead, it's going to rule out any inconsistency on weight or any, you know, maybe those arrows aren't splined aligned properly. It'll like disqualify all that if you just shoot one arrow, because then it'll constantly, it should be constantly the exact same. It's always going to have the same flight pattern because it's the exact same arrow. If you start shooting like six different ones, there's always a chance that, you know, it could be something else. It could be, you know, maybe it's, maybe the veins, maybe two of the veins are a little closer than two of the other veins, or maybe this broadhead's a tiny bit heavier, or maybe it's machined a little bit inaccurate. Never know. Like, it just rules out all those things.
Yeah.
That's what I would do.
Yeah.
And just check. Maybe it's oversteering. Maybe it's something in your rest. I don't know. There's so many things.
Just the way it piled those arrows in one right after the other. Yeah,
that's
right
the frustrating after. Thing about, and that, like we had this conversation before we were talking, and I was like, well, now you got to put your broadheads on, and then it's like back to square one. Yeah. It's fucking frustrating. That's why I always shoot. That's why when I'll sight my bow in for my broadheads, for my broadheads, and I'll shoot one. At the very beginning of every round, I shoot one, and that is on target, right? As long as I'm happy where it's hitting on target. If it's not, if I'm not happy with it, I won't even shoot the field tips. I'll go grab that arrow and I'll shoot it again.
Yeah.
Right. And make sure, okay, does something get bumped? I'll shoot it, you know, make sure nothing got bumped, or because most of the time it's just the shooter. And then I'll go and shoot my other arrows with the field tips on it. And like I said, those are always 6 inches low and 6 inches to the left. Yeah. And I don't really care where those are hitting on the target. As long as the grouping's good, that's all that matters, because I'm aiming at the same spot. It's just those arrows are flying in a different way. I don't have to really touch my sight unless I'm going to like a 3D tournament, or, you know, if you're constantly going back. But for myself, for you, it's different, right? For me,
I got one next weekend, so I'm not going to, not this weekend, but next weekend I'm going down to Cranbrook. So I'll be in a 3D shoot then. Yeah. So I don't want to mess around too much for my broadheads just yet.
Yeah. Because then you have to switch it back.
Yeah. I'm going to be, right now I'm piling them in there, but
yeah,
I will try that. It doesn't hurt to grab one of my, well, like you said, grab one of my old arrows with a four vein. That's exactly the same, but just my old arrow, and then throw a three vein on there as well.
Yeah.
And even one of these gold tips, and then just see how it.
Yeah, you never know. Maybe it's just, maybe they're not reacting to those blazer veins like they should, or like maybe they just don't like them. Like I said, it's funny things. Like those wash sharpshooters, they just do not like the left offset. They like the right. Yeah, it's so bizarre. Weird.
Yeah.
But it was the same as last year, and I was shooting the same. I'm shooting those gold tips, but it's the same thing. Right, last year I was shooting the victory, but I'm still getting the same response. Now, I don't know if most people, like probably 99 out of 100 shooters, have right. Doesn't matter if they shoot right or left; they always have right offset veins.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It's the same way. It's exact same way the threading goes on a field tip or a broadhead. Right, it's always threaded one way. Right. So as you shoot, if you have a left spinning arrow and it's spinning left, your broadhead, I don't know if you've noticed how much looser your broadhead is on your arrow with the left spinning arrow.
Yeah.
Because it's actually unscrewing from the broadhead.
Well, mine are to the right, so I know.
Okay. But
so I've heard about it.
Yeah. That's what happens to me. And then you got to put always put a little bit, you could put some wax in there or some thread lock, tiny little dab, and stops from doing that. I often wonder if when they machine these things, if there's something machined, like are the arrows cut, you know, the blades cut a certain way? Because if you look at like especially the wash sharpshooters, they're not a perfect cut triangle like you would think, right? Like on a knife, they're kind of more cut on one side than the other. So maybe that has something to do
with the average person cutting to the with
right. So if you're shooting, you know, they're cut a certain way to fly for the average shooter, like how the average shooter has your, which way the average shooter's arrows are spinning.
Yeah.
Because for some reason, they always like arrows that spin to the right rather than the left, those broadheads.
Yeah, it's bizarre.
Yeah, it's crazy. I don't know. I can't figure it out, but whatever. I mean, I just cut them all off and spend 3 hours fletching them the other way.
You know, the other thing too is Kyle Sinclair sent me a couple, he had 10 extra arrows, those arachnid arrows. Because we shoot almost identical, like virtually identical setups.
Uh-huh.
So he sent me 10 of his old ones that he doesn't use anymore. They got a wrap on the back, 4-vein, but they're SK2s. I think SK2s. Should throw a broadhead in those and just see how they fly. Just out of curiosity. Yeah. While I'm doing it, doesn't
they
hurt.
Have a wrap on them, right?
Yeah, it's a little bit different, but again,
yeah,
just to see in it, but it's a slightly different shape vein too.
So is it a shielded vein?
I'll show you. Hold on a second.
Right here.
Yeah. Yeah, so they're shielded style. Now,
I've never shot them like I've never shot. Well, I mean, I've shot these the other day, but just with field points. So,
yeah, is he hunting with those? Yeah.
Not
a lot of steering out of those. Like,
no,
for a fixed blade broadhead, not a lot of steering.
Yeah, they're pretty low profile. So, I wouldn't doubt if that's a 3D setup.
I think that's a 3D setup.
I'll have to ask him.
Yeah, I can't remember. Him and I were talking about it when he was on the show, and I can't remember what he's using for broadheads. Just don't remember.
I'm pretty sure he's using Black Widow.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, you just said that.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. Yeah. I think it's neurotoxins or the Recluse, which is what I have. So
yeah, either way.
Okay. I don't know. There's something goofy. I got lots of time. I'm only worried about elk season. I mean, I love to go out with my bow for bear. I don't get me wrong. But like I say,
I feel week, for next... like, yeah, like, I don't know. I haven't shot a lot of bear with a boat, with a gun. So
I got to do my duty and get one down. Save half the bear, donate it for our banquet for the Rod and Gun Club.
Right. What are you going to do with the rug? You going to do anything with it?
Nope. I'll just make a skull. I'm not interested. We got some friends that'll do some stuff that, in the band and stuff, they'll.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure they'll want it to do something with it. I'm not in. Yeah, I've got no room or interest in a rug.
Yeah.
So, yeah, no, I'm literally bear bratwurst, be ham, and then save the other half for the Rod and Gun Club, and Peter can do whatever she'd like.
Yeah, when we had Simon on, he texted me after, and he's like, I forgot this recipe. He must have listened to the podcast, and all of a sudden things started clicking because it was like, I forgot this recipe. And he's like, he had a few that he's like, you have to get me back on because I forgot to write. That's the cool thing about bears, like how is the cooking aspect, and that's.
There's so much.
Yeah, it'd be nice to do a show just on all, like, not even just a show, like an actual show just on cooking bear.
Yeah.
Like an actual show you could sit there and visually watch and be like, yeah, Mike should do that. He should
be good.
Yeah.
Should talk to him about that.
Yeah, like have it on his CutRight app.
Yeah.
Where he shows how to field dress it, process it, and then have somebody there cooking it.
Yeah, it'd be.
I tried to buy some of his hats today, but they don't ship them to Canada.
Oh,
so I was grinding his gears.
Oh man.
Yeah, you know, his kid's actually he's actually moving to Penticton.
Oh really?
Yeah.
What for?
Hockey. He got in with the hockey program down there, so
good for him.
Yeah, he called me a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, that's crazy. Awesome.
Have you messed around with that Onyx yet, app at all?
I did a little bit. Yeah, it was pretty cool. I was going to mess around with it more actually out in the field, but I have not made it out into the field.
Yeah, hold on a second.
Yeah, it looks like it's got some pretty cool features. I just haven't had enough time to sit down and actually go through them. and like break them down and see what I can actually do with the app. There's some pretty cool stuff on there.
The swag they sent us, I got it. I gotta send you this box. I'm gonna show everybody here just because there's for the people watching. Yeah, XL big enough for you?
Oh fuck, man! I'm all trimmed up. Lost weight.
Yeah,
so I'm just gotta fit those arms. That's all.
Yeah. That's what Kazi gives me a jacket a couple weeks ago, or maybe it was longer than that. And he's like, hey, man, you want this jacket? It's really sweet. I'm like, oh, yeah? Why don't you don't want it? He's like, oh, man, I love this jacket. It's just, it doesn't fit my shoulders. I'm like, fuck you, man. What are you saying? Saying I got small shoulders, you fucker? Fuck
you. Yeah, it's just, it's fit for a little guy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There you go.
That's hilarious.
Fucking guy he can't button it up. That's why his gut's too big.
I gotcha. Yeah, no, I'm generally a large in most things, unless, you know, it's like an outer coat or something that I plan on, you know, if it's for hunting late season, I want it a little bit big so that I can layer underneath it. I don't want it tight. That's all.
Yeah. Anyway, I told when he asked me what size, I just said extra large, but they fit kind of tight. So he sent me some large, but they're awesome tight. So thanks to those guys. But yeah, I've been messing around more and more with that Onyx app. It's pretty fucking cool.
Yeah.
Normally what I do with my apps is I'll have like Google. Google Earth is pretty much like for the 3D, Google Earth is hard to beat.
Yeah.
And then I'll have like Backroads Maps.
Yeah.
Onyx. Or not Onyx, sorry. iHunter. And like Onyx isn't better. Like it's 3D maps aren't better than Google. It's private land access, private public land information isn't as good as iHunter, and it's Backroads Maps, like show roads access and stuff like that, isn't as good as Backroads Maps. But I mean, if you had to pick, like in terms of just like one app that's good at, has a lot of good features, Onyx has a lot of really good features. And it's like, they're an American company, we're in Canada. Backroads Maps, like there's 20 it's minutes well away
done. Yeah,
you know what I mean, like Backroads Maps, they're 20 minutes away is where their warehouse is. You know, we've had Mark on the show before, like I love supporting Canadian guys and Canadian brands. But like I can't even talk right now. The Onyx app is pretty damn good.
It's pretty like, well rounded.
Yeah,
from what I've gone through on it.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think there's stuff, the public land thing. Like I can't speak for the Alberta version, Saskatchewan, all that, because that's a whole nother ball game with all the farmers, all that kind of stuff.
Well, and if go on iHunter app, like I've hunted in Alberta, it's nice because it actually like iHunter will show you who owns it and their phone and give their information and phone number on there. Or it doesn't do that in BC.
No, it'll give you their personal identification number and that's it.
Yeah.
So you can, I mean, you can go a long way around. I think you can pay some money and go to the government and you can get some sort of contact info, not necessarily their phone number. I don't know.
It must be different legislation laws for each province. I'm thinking that's why some have and some don't.
Yeah. So I can't really speak for another province because you'd have to have a Alberta user compare it to their stuff and be like, okay, what do you have? Comparing apples to apples then.
Yeah.
That's the only thing, but it'll be interesting once I start putting trail cameras up. I got a few new spots I want to go try and go hike up.
Yeah.
I'm going to see what it can do up in those areas.
Yeah. So like the caching, like the layers, caching maps is unreal on this app. It's just awesome. And like they have it so you can have topo, hybrid, or satellite. It has 2D, 3D. I mean, like I said, the 3D, it's not as good as Google. But it's pretty damn good. And like the thing about this app is like how easy it is to use. Now, one of the things I hate about Google is like I'll be doing something. I'll be trying to zoom in and like my thumbs will swipe on the screen and all of a sudden it'll like do something really weird. And I'm like, fuck, what did I just do? And then I have to shut the app down and restart it just to get out of this funky little thing that I'm in that I don't know how to get into. Where like with the Onyx, like you can put it, you can, it's just so much easier to use and navigate and access through. Yeah, it's pretty cool, man.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I haven't looked. Do they have a little tutorial or anything built into the app for?
You can, and like all this stuff is, all this information is available on their website too. And like I said, I've only used it sitting in, you know, sitting here talking to you and like pissing around, you know, when I'm sitting on the couch. And it's a lot different actually using something in the field as than it is when you're sitting in, on a couch using it, right?
Yeah.
Or sitting in front of a computer screen when you're like, oh, okay, well. That's how you do that. That's how you do it. Cause like for me, fuck, I can't remember all that stuff that the guy just said. Like,
yeah.
So it being simple and accessible and easy to use is important to me. And like I said, this is pretty good. And it shows like, it even shows like I was looking for my goat draw, like, cause I was thinking maybe switching up a goat draw. So I went into like, into region 4 and like the sub regions and stuff, and it has all that information and it's super easy. And then you can just hit like the hybrid or you can hit the topo on the 2D, and then I'll show you like you know, mountain ranges, and it has them all named. And yeah, no, it's pretty good, man. I'm pretty excited to get out and piss around with it this weekend.
One thing, pay attention, because in case you get out before I do, well, you will this weekend actually. One thing the most important thing I think is iHunter will track you even if you're out of service.
Oh yeah.
Even if you haven't cached a map, if you're lost and you're looking at this zoomed out map and you're like, fuck, what road do I take? Yeah. Or did I take the wrong one? It will track you. So I'd be really interested to see if Onyx still tracks you as you're going.
Yeah.
Cause I think this that's a really important feature.
This one does have a tracker.
Okay.
So,
but does it work offline is what I'm curious.
Yeah, about. That's the question. So all you do is this you can't see on that computer screen, but you hit start and it starts tracking. And that tells you the distance you've gone in yard, like in time, speed, all that stuff. See, like now it's showing a little blue dot. Same as iHunter, same as Backroads Maps, right? Like shows you what direction you're heading. But like you said, it's really interesting to see if it does that when I get out of cell service.
Yeah.
So I'm going to, like I said, I'm going to mess around with it lots this weekend.
Yeah.
And next time we're on the show, we'll talk about it.
Give me a little rundown there too. Yeah. Cause by then I should at least be having some other trail cameras where I've got half-ass service, half-ass not.
Yeah. And it'd be nice too, if they got on it. Cause I know like they're still having issues with, getting it, like it's not available to everyone in Canada yet.
It's not.
No, not yet. They're still having issues with it. So
like provinces or
no, like just accepting payment for Canadian payment and like getting it set up. So they said they were going to give us a promo code to pass on to our listeners. So, I mean, for those listening who want to try it out, as soon as it comes out, we'll let you guys know. But I mean, for the most part, man, this thing is pretty kick ass. And like I say, you know, I love, you know, the Canadian boys, you know, Backroads Maps and iHunter. And I still think those are great apps, but, you know, it's a pretty good app for sure.
We like getting every advantage we can when it comes to tracking down those animals.
Yeah.
And if I can find one or two bonus things about one app or another, I'm going to take advantage of it. End of story.
Yeah. And it's like, the nice thing is you can play with some of the features they have available down in the States too. And all the same features that are available in the States are available on the Canadian aspect. It's the same app. It's essentially, you just click over, there's these little toggles and you just toggle over. I got to toggle back on. So like they have Alaska, Arizona. So if you're hunting Alaska, you just turn Alaska on, right? And it would show everything for that app. Canada they don't have one for province specific in Canada yet. It just shows Canada and it's the same all over, but all the same features are available. Like I don't know a whole bunch on it. They said they'd give us a tutorial, so maybe we'll have to do that. Maybe we'll do that online. Once they get it, once it becomes accessible to Canadians, maybe we'll get the boys on and
they can do it. Maybe at that point too, then they'll start getting some reviews from different provinces and be able to, you know, beef it up for whatever is lacking in, you know, every province is a little different. So
You know, one of the cool things I really like about this app is like they've got so much stuff down in the States and you have access to see it all. So like I was looking through some of the stuff they have, like they got, you know, they got the Fort Bridger Treaty of 1883 and how that, like the detail on that and where that affects and like how it affects different areas. Like how it affects access. Right. And
it's no wonder it's so popular down in the States.
Yeah. They got like the Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation. They got Pheasants Forever, like slope angles. Oh, you can put that on. I had that off, but that should be on. There's just so much crazy stuff. Like they got timber cut details, historical wildfire details, acorn producing oat details. Like, I guess those for the whitetail hunters, right? What areas produce the most acorns and stuff like that.
I think
deciduous tree.
That was one that I turned on for around here because I figured that'd be a big one for all of them, for all the ungulates.
Yeah.
If you could find big patches of deciduous and stuff like
that. Yeah. Deciduous tree distribution. Thermal deer cover, U.S. crop distribution, young aspen forest, wetland. Like, man, they just got a lot of stuff on here. Now, obviously, they're not going to have all. When you click on these, it's obviously not all of it's going to be relevant to Canada just because obviously they don't have that information yet. But I feel like it's something that they're eventually going to have. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The trails and roads. Yeah, they got all that road areas, road access. Like I said, they do have. Like forestry roads and stuff, same as Backroads Maps, but it's not as good as Backroads Maps. But it's one of those things, right? Like you're not going to get the best of all three in one. But when it comes to, if you're just going to have one, I feel like this one's pretty damn good. But anyway, this will wrap it up. Hey, I see it's starting to get dark behind you, and I gotta go shoot.
Dude, that's a giant storm moving in. I can hear the thunder rolling. Yeah. That's not just dark. That's like storm clouds moving in.
All right. Well, anyway, we've been talking long enough.
All right, bud. Great. Hey, we'll talk to you later.
Yeah, later. Bye. Thanks again, everyone, for tuning in to the Focus Hunting Podcast, coming at you as part of the Waypoint Outdoor Collective. I want to take a quick sec and make a huge shout out and say thanks to the sponsors of this show, starting with BC's premier archery shop, Hardcore Archery, located right here in Kelowna, British Columbia. AKU boots, they've been supporting the show for a while now. Both Pete and I, we've been running these boots for well over a year. You know, hunting in BC, we face probably the harshest backcountry environment in the world. We got deserts, Rocky Mountain, extreme coastlines, you name it. And these are the only boots that have lasted me more than one hunting season. So, you know, they're definitely worth the investment. You owe it to your feet to use AKU boots. Use promo code FOCUS and get 15% off, right? They're probably going to cringe because I always pronounce the name wrong, but it is what it is. Onyx Maps, now available in Canada. Stay tuned, guys. We've partnered up with Onyx, and we're going to be getting you guys some more information on Onyx and their mapping system for Canada. For those of you in the U.S., you've already got access to it and most likely been using the app. Pete and I got early access to this app, and to be honest, it rocks. But like I said, we're going to get you more information on that, and we're going to be able to get you guys a little bit of discount. So lastly, if you guys could please leave a rating and review on whatever platform you're listening, we really appreciate the support. Love you guys. Until next time. Thanks.
Hey, everyone. Will Cooper here, host of Hunt Stand's Make Your Mark podcast. Join us as we dive deep into the world of hunting and outdoor pursuits. We've brought together some of the most accomplished individuals in the industry to share their invaluable insights and experiences with you. But here's the kicker. It's not just about hunting tips and tactics. We're exploring how you can carve your own path, elevate your skills, and gain some wisdom from the best in the field. So whether you're a seasoned hunter looking to fine-tune your skills or a newbie eager to learn, our podcast has something for everyone. Stay tuned for more exciting guests and hotter topics. Don't miss out and subscribe to Hunt Stand's Make Your Mark podcast today and start making your mark in the great outdoors.
In wild country, Rules were not created by man. Don't miss Wild Country, Wednesdays from 7 to 11 p.m. Eastern. Presented by Primos. Speak the language. Waypoint TV, the destination for outdoor entertainment.